Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser. This will be an uplifting hour filled with information, inspiring interviews, and music to connect you to your own spiritual energy. Sit back, relax, and enjoy this show that could transform your life.
Good morning, good morning. Welcome to Spiritual Engineering, the new science for happiness and extraordinary relationships.
Yes, welcome. And we're here from Colorado, south of Denver today, another great day. It looks like springtime starting here.
Finally.
We're going to have some fun today. We're going to talk about something very interesting.
And we want to thank you for being with us today and to Cosmic Citizen for allowing us to do this show every Wednesday morning. What day is today? Oh, boy.
And this is something we're going to be dedicating this half-hour segment to, something very important. As Patty said, spiritual engineering looks at happiness and relationships. And we have talked a lot about how to have really excellent, fantastic relationships, how to do that, laid the foundation for it, and given the tools on how to do that. Again, with engineering, it's come from an engineering standpoint. We identify the problem, identify the solution, and then really get into details about the process on how to implement the solution. But we've talked a lot about relationships, but we haven't talked a lot about happiness, and that's what we're going to talk about today.
You know, last Sunday I was talking to a group of people, and I asked him, are you happy? Raise your hand and you are happy. And few people just did it, and they say happiness does not exist. We have moments of happiness, but happiness does not exist. And I just kind of look at them and I say, how is this possible? Our natural condition, when we were born to be happy. But we buy the story that we don't deserve it, that it's impossible, that it's not reachable. And so what is happening, honey?
Well, this is what, as I said, when I started basically on my search, I come out of a divorce I didn't want. It really tore me up. It took me down to such a low point in my life. I actually put a gun in my mouth and was pulling the trigger. When I had this idea that this flash came into my mind that you can use science. You can find out how to be happy and use science by using science, and you know how to solve problems. And that's all I ever wanted in life, was to learn to be happy and to have good relationships. And so, as I said, this is a process, and we're going to really look at what causes happiness and how to do it.
So you identified the problem. The problem was you were not happy. Was that the problem or was that the symptom?
That was a symptom, and that's one of the things, again, that engineering does and their engineering techniques. We separate the problem from the symptom, because we can never really find a good solution to the problem or the best solution as long as we're working on a symptom. And you're right, honey, not being happy, being miserable, letting other people control my feelings, push my buttons, taking my feelings from other people, all these were symptoms. They weren't the underlying problem.
But not only other people, other places and things.
Events,
people are not happy because they don't have a job, or because they don't live in the perfect house, or because perhaps their health is not in such a good condition. So we're going to identify four levels of happiness. Let's begin with the first one, the physical level.
Okay, let's back up a second, because one of the things that we need to look at is this does tie into the spiritual engineering concepts. It relates very much to the integrity, this building our self-relationship, how to have a good opinion of ourselves, a healthy self-love. And you talk about the problems and the solution, the symptoms. This was a problem. I never had a good, healthy self-love. I never had a good value for myself. And this was really what happened. And as I grew up, and this is what, and talking to people all around the world, you and I talk to people, this is what happens. We have this void inside of us. You know, as we've said, the word integrity comes from integer, the quality or condition of being whole, complete, unimpaired, whole and complete. And instead of being whole, I had a hole. I had this void inside of me. And I went out and tried to fill it with things. I tried to fill it with being number one. I wanted to be the best in everything I
in
could
everything.
Be.
In everything,
yeah. I tried to fill it with other people. And then society and the culture convinced me, well, if you make a lot of money, if you're successful, and if you have all this, you'll feel happy.
Right.
So I tried to fill it with that money and power and things and all these different
things. And you
things.
Were pretty successful.
I was very successful at doing those things. I mean, I was always super competitive. So what this did, it would give me that simple, short happiness. When I'd get something, when I'd graduate the top of the class or I'd do these things, I'd have this feeling of happiness. But it was always short-lived and it disappeared. And then, as you know, I turned to drugs and alcohol and tried to find happiness. Well, that again, it was an instant gratification, a quick gratification, a little flash of happiness, and it was gone. And then after a while, all those things quit working. So I was really searching for what can you do in this life to be happy. And one of my problems, Patty, as we've talked, I didn't understand what made me happy. I was so confused about what really made me happy. And as I began to study how to build relationships and how this integrity, this concept of integrity, that I used all these things to fill this void, this hole inside of me. And see what happens. When I have this void and I say, okay, I want to make money and fill this void, or I'm going to get this new house or get this new car, and I get it, the void is filled and I have that short-lived happiness. I have that spurt of happiness. Yes, I do. But the problem is it's not long-lasting. It's not deep. It's not a deep, penetrating happiness.
Isn't that the same that happened with people who are shopaholics? That they have this thrill about getting the new car or the new dress or the new shoes, and they go and spend money and they have this excitement, and then it's short lived, and they go home and they just, I mean, they feel that low again.
Right, and the thing is, and it wasn't until I was looking on how to be happy and actually figured out how to be happy, and it was turned out to be pretty happy in life. And the thing, we've talked before, before we met, before I married you, I lost a wife to cancer. And now you can't get through something like that and be happy. It's absolutely impossible. But you can get through something like that and keep that peace of mind, that serenity.
Which is different in a
different.
Happiness.
It's different.
Okay.
Yeah. And we can learn to go through anything in life, absolutely anything, and maintain that poise, that equanimity, that sense of everything is going to be okay. It may not be all right now, but everything is going to be okay. That serenity.
So
we
what
can
you
keep
saying,
that, so, but there's
that's,
a difference.
That's fascinating. What you're saying, honey, is a person who doesn't have a job, who doesn't have the perfect house, who is even sick, a person can have serenity in
absolutely,
life.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And again, this is not theory. I have, I lost my eyesight. I went blind, and they didn't ever expect me to see. And I was totally blind. They did not think I would see. Bacteria ate all my corneas, completely devoured my corneas. And I was able to get through that and keep that peace of mind. Absolute serenity. No worry, no fear, just peace of mind. And I was not happy. I was not happy, but I kept the peace of mind. So we have to understand there's a difference between that serenity and peace of mind. And we've talked a lot at different times about how to get to that level of serenity that passes all human understanding, that level of peace that we can have, that we can go through absolutely anything. And it's not magic. It is absolutely not magic. It is a process that we learn to do, and it takes discipline, it takes effort. But when we do this, we have the serenity that we can face anything in life with it. But again, it's different than happiness.
And other people find a level of contentment inside themselves, and they have a lot of self-control, and they function almost in their mind. And that's another level of happiness, when you find that you can get yourself out of any trouble, that your emotions are not getting on the way. Is that real happiness?
It's a form of happiness. It really is, because, again, we look at a person, an individual, a human organism, of having three life arenas, physical, mental, and spiritual. And we talk about integration, back to integrity, how to integrate those three facets of life, the physical, mental, and spiritual, so that you can have peace of mind, serenity.
How do we achieve that peace of mind?
Well, each one of these life arenas, physical, mental, and spiritual, is meant to do a certain job. It has a certain function in life. The physical is meant to be subordinate. And this is our body, our house, our car, the environment, everything physical.
Okay.
The mind is meant to coordinate, and that means to coordinate everything that's going on about us, all the physical things, everything that happens in life, but it really means to coordinate between the spiritual and the physical. And the mind is not meant to give us direction and purpose in life. That's what the spiritual part of us does. It gives us direction, purpose, values in life. And without those things in our life, we're like a ship without a rudder. We're like a kite in the wind without any string attached to it. We just go.
And that is when a spiritual engineer really draws the distinction, because we heard so many people talking about the power of the mind, the power of affirmation, that we can create our reality with our mind. We heard that, but we heard that all the time, but we don't hear those people who wanted to will themselves out of situation or out of emotional misery, and they can't.
That's right. People start to worry, and all of a sudden they're worried, or they have anxiety, or they got to pop medication for anxiety. And my contention is, and I've done all that, if I have this personality integration,
yeah,
if I'm functioning as a complete being, I don't need to pop pills for anxiety, and I have not worried in I don't know how long, and I used to worry all the time. I was blind and could not see, and they never could know if I could see, and I did not worry. I went through the death of loved ones and never had the anxiety and the worry, because I'd learned how to do this integration, this personality integration.
The accident that you had two years ago.
Yeah, almost died up in the mountains. I should have died. That's what the doctor said. And anyway, these things, we can go through anything and have the peace of mind. But what I want to look at today, and probably this will carry into next week, is happiness. How do we learn to be happy? And one of the first things we have to do, and I want to talk about this, because we're going to talk about happiness and how happiness relates to our purpose in life.
Ah.
And I doubt if we get to that today, but we're going to talk about the four levels of happiness. Okay? There are four levels. I'm going to give you a brief description of each level, and then we'll go back and talk about them.
Okay.
The first level is the physical level of happiness. This means when we get that new car, when we get that house, we feel happy. Yes. When we are hungry and we get that steak or whatever it is, when we want that butterscotch ice cream and our mouth is watering and we think about it, we have that gratification, physical happiness. There's something physical produces a reaction.
It is an adrenaline rush.
No, it's not adrenaline. It's a feeling of happiness, of almost joy. And we don't want to get into that, but there's a difference between happiness and joy. But we want to look at happiness. And
I say it is an adrenaline rush. It is the same thing that some athletes, they experience when they're running, when they're doing a sport. All those hormones come to the body and make you feel that satisfaction. That's a chemical reaction.
It is a chemical, but it's a little bit different than adrenaline. But anyway, okay, so we feel, we get the house, we get, you know, we get the car, we get whatever. Okay, we feel happy. The second level, and this is the interesting one, is the ego comparative level.
Ah.
The ego comparative means that this is when I win. I want to win. I want to get more than you've got. I want to beat you or whatever. I get this and I feel good. I feel like I have a value. It gives me a feeling of happiness. It really makes me feel good.
Because I'm better than you?
Because it makes me better than you, but it means I have, you know, it's when I compare what I have to what you have or to what other people have. I compare what my abilities are to what other people's are. I am comparing. So it's really a comparative level. The third level is when we learn that service, altruism, helps us feel happy. When we help other people, we do things for other people, that helps us.
From a humanistic standpoint, yes, that ability to respond when someone is in need, do charity, those kind of things.
Right. That is the altruistic happiness. And then the fourth level, the highest level, is the spiritual happiness. And this is where we have that transcendent happiness, where we tie what we're doing. We understand what we're doing today has an eternal value, that we are doing something, and it really, I look at it as trying to follow universe law or God's will or whatever you want to talk about, but we are trying to set our standards of living to a higher purpose, a higher meaning that actually has almost an eternal implication. So we try to do God's will. And when we do it, and we're going to talk about all these four different levels of habit because they're very distinct levels. And there was a great book that a guy just wrote. There was the ex-president of Gonzaga College. I forgot his name. But it's the 10 Universal Principles. And he talks about these four levels of happiness in that book. It was just great to see other people. I mean, this guy's a doctor of philosophy. Of course, they look at those things. And we look at it from a practical engineering standpoint, how to bring it back and let it affect our life today. So now, those are the four levels of happiness. Each one of those levels, you know, that can make us happy. But now let's look and see what happens. How we get to those levels and what happens when we're in them. Let's look at that physical level. And this is one of the levels I was operating at. I want to go get things. I get the new car. I get the big house. I have these things.
And many people live in that level, don't they?
Yes, they do. That I have to, and when I get something, like you said, the shopaholic. Now, the thing is that relationships can be in this level too. Relationships, you know, I've got to have this woman, or I've got to have all these women, or I've got to do this. And I use these people to fill in this, to fill in this void inside of me, like we're talking about. And I really want to get a new car, just a car. I want, a Lexus or something. I want a BMW.
I want a Lexus.
I want a BMW, whatever. Yeah.
I want a Lexus.
I have this. This is what I want. And then all of a sudden I hit the, get the money worked out and do everything, and I go get the car. Oh, it's beautiful. And so I spend my time looking at that car, polishing the car, keeping it clean inside. And within 6 months, it starts to get a little dirty. And a year later, it's a little dirty. But the instant gratification, the feeling of happiness fades pretty quickly because this level one happiness does not have the depth or the long lasting.
You know, honey, it seems more interesting to me in regards to the relationships, because when the other person becomes the center of my attention and we say, this he or she is my world, what happened when that person leave us?
Yes, right.
You know, and everything, my mind becomes obsessed with this person. I'm thinking about this person all the time. I sacrifice my self-respect, my honesty, my dignity, because I compromise my own values, because I want this person to like me, to accept me. And in order to do that, I sacrifice myself. And I see a lot of many women who are involved in domestic violence problems, they lose who they are because they want their partner. They want that acceptance of their partner so much that they forget about themselves.
Right. Now, the thing with relationships can respond on any one of the four levels.
Ah.
Okay, so this is very interesting. But what I'm saying is we can fill, I can fill that void. I can get my happiness because, let's say, I want this beautiful woman. I mean, because oh, God, she's beautiful. I want to be with her.
She will make you look good.
That's the second one.
Oh, that's different.
Okay, because when I want her to possess that, I want to possess that because of the beauty or of the quality or something like that, then, okay, that's that first level. That's the physical level. I want that person for a physical reason. Now, again, that relationship, I can want that person because when I get her, it shows me that I'm better than everybody. That's why you see all the old guys running around with young women.
Oh.
Because, oh, boy, look at this girl on my arm. It's ego comparative. I'm comparing myself to other people. I'm showing other people I can get this beautiful young lady. That is a second level. But relationships can fit in all these four different levels, and it's really interesting because the relationships that are really great are always operating at level three and level four.
Ah.
Okay, because it's not just a physical thing. Now, this talk about happiness, we don't want to disparage the idea that a car or something like that's important, a new house,
uh-huh,
it's
uh-huh.
not. What happens, again, back to this level one, the physical level, when we put our value on getting this house, okay, on we say, okay, this is what makes us feel important, this is what makes us happy. As we start to do this in our youth, and we start to, I need all these things. The problem with the level one happiness, the physical level, it's always more, more, more.
You're never satisfied.
You're never satisfied. And when I get it, then I'm looking, you know, okay, I want more of this and more of this. It's like in a drug addiction or an alcoholic. We just need more and more to reach the same level of happiness.
That's basically,
there's no way to ever get enough.
So we get addicted to those things in a way.
We actually get addicted to the rush of happiness, like we've talked before. You want to see something in the, what's that movie, The Bleep? You know, when we get back, and we get addicted to the chemicals our body produces when we get that rush. But just stop and think. The people, like I was for quite a while, we need more things. We want more things. We want a bigger house. We want a new car. One car is not enough. We want two or three. It's always accumulating things. Now, but when I can't get them, that's a great point, then I don't feel happy. I feel miserable.
Uh-huh.
I feel that gap between what I really am. And so I don't have a value. I don't have a worth in life. And it's like you were talking about people who don't have a job right now, who don't have things. If we set our value and our happiness on having those things, there's always a big gap between our goals in life and where we are. Because this is so important. As we learn to... that this getting these things gives us a feeling of happiness.
And it's temporary.
Getting these things becomes our purpose in life.
Yeah.
And this is so important. When that becomes our purpose, we do this repetitively over and over and over until we associate we don't really think about it, but what we live for, what we exist for, our very existence in life is to get things.
Yeah.
We're out to get and accumulate things. And when that becomes our purpose, we set ourselves up for misery.
That's so fascinating.
We can never
right.
get enough. We can never, you know, no matter what we have, we're always. And this is just the first level because this applies to each
and
level.
Some people live only on that level.
Of course, you see them out. And that's why when they can't get things, it makes difference whether you're a millionaire or whether you're out of job and unemployed.
Let me just share this. Last week I watched in television that in Florida they were releasing these new shoes, the Nikes, like $300 shoes. And all these young people, they didn't have jobs, and they went and they were fighting because they want to be the first to have those shoes. That was amazing.
Look at the iPods, the kids with the iPods,
and
we're teaching our children this very thing. Ah, here's what makes you happy.
The Xbox, all those toys, right.
You got to have
things. This is fascinating. Uh-huh.
You got to have these things, and this is what makes you happy. And how many times, I've got to have this, I got to have this, I got to have this. And we're setting our children up that follow this level one of happiness, which can never, ever give us the peace of mind and serenity. It automatically commits us to misery in life. We have the short-term happiness, the short-term satisfaction. When we accomplish what we set out in our goal, our purpose, which is to get something, and then it moves on to something else. And so, see, this level of happiness, this level one of happiness, if it becomes our purpose in life, our function
to get
in life,
more, to get more.
It sets us up for misery. Now, that's level one. Level two is the same thing, the comparative level, where we compare ourselves to other people.
Uh-huh.
We're in the exact same boat because here I've got to beat you. I've got to be first. I've got to have more than you. I've got to have a bigger. It's not just getting the house. I've got to have a bigger house than you. I've got to keep up with the Joneses.
Oh, my gosh.
I got to beat them. You know. So I have this level too. So I've got to have more. I've got to, if I'm in a discussion, and I used to fall into this. If I'm in a discussion about God or spirituality, I got to know more than the other person.
That's right.
I've got to be the one that other people look to for answers. It's all comparative. I'm comparing myself.
I'm better than you.
I'm better than you. I've got to be, and that's where I was in life for many years. I've got to feel like I'm better than you to feel equal, to have value. It's not that I felt such a low value of myself, I had to prove myself better just to feel equal, if that makes any sense.
Isn't that the base, the root of being, doing like gossip?
Well, that's one. Oh, yeah, that's a great point. That's why we gossip, because we want to tear somebody else down. We want to put something negative. We want people to think we know something they don't know. It's all comparative. It's to build ourselves up. And when we do that, that makes us happy. That gives us a degree of happiness at that instant. And again, like level one, this level two is very short-lived. It's very transitory, and it's not a deep happiness. It's not that real deep happiness. Because remember, we talk about the three levels of life arenas, physical, mental, and spiritual. And these first two levels of happiness operate on the physical and mental levels. And the spiritual level of our life, not the religion, but the actual spirituality of our life, adds depth. It adds the third dimension. So any happiness that just functions on the physical
two?
Mental
mm-hmm.
levels cannot have the depth, the penetration, the long-lasting effect that something when it's actually functioning on all three levels.
Because they not line up with a real life purpose.
Yeah.
Things.
No, they are. Our purpose is wrong. When we
the purpose is wrong.
The
uh-huh.
purpose is not. It's not wrong. It has just become our purpose in life has become either to get more things in level one or to be better than other people in level
oh.
two. When our purpose becomes that, we're always competing. We're always short. We're never getting enough. We're never doing all these things. Okay, so. We have to learn about what our purpose is. Okay, we have to see that these things that make us happy start to define our purpose in life. And then when they define our focus and our purpose in life, we want more and more of those. And so in these first two levels, we inevitably set ourselves up for a big gap.
That is amazing, honey. Well, I think that we need to wrap up right now and continue our conversation.
Because this is
next
so
week.
Interesting. I don't mean, but level
just
three.
Just to interrupt
I'm
me,
sorry,
honey.
Baby. But the level three is the one. Now, level one and level two
uh-huh.
are where our culture exists.
Oh.
90% of our culture find their happiness in these first two levels. And the problem is they can't do it. And that's why we have so much misery in our culture and in our world. So we really have, you know, to look at what makes us happy. And then level three is going to be very interesting because the altruistic, the humanistic happiness is absolutely great. It's a totally different movement after we move from level two to level three. But level three is not the answer in itself. We have that if we want to really be happy, we learn to function in all four levels, but our focus is on the fourth level. So we will talk about this next week because this is fascinating. This is why people can't be happy and what we run into. We enjoy. Thank you so much for being with us. We're getting out of time. We'll have some more information on this on our blog and our information at spiritual-engineering.com. spiritual-engineering.com. So, and join us there. You can get the CD I Believe, which talks a good bit and gives us some great pointers on this happiness part of this and on the relationships. But it's spiritual-engineering.com. Thank you so much. Come back next week and we'll talk about the other two levels of happiness and how we'll start looking at it, and then we're going to start looking on how to achieve these. And send some questions. Yeah, we'd love to have your questions at tom@spiritual-engineering.com. tom@spiritual-engineering.com.
Thank you for experiencing Spiritual Engineering Radio. To connect with your show hosts, Thomas and Patricia Strausser, please visit www.spiritual-engineering.com. Spiritual Engineering Radio, building extraordinary relationships for the 21st century.